Get enough to eat, Gregor?
Huh?
No, I thought you had something in your mouth. Did you get prasadam?
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay. How was your
Inanis? He's asleep.
Oh, he's asleep. I'm really sorry the weather didn't work out so well. I had ordered a sunny day.
Something wrong with the phone, huh?
Yeah.
Bad connection.
Yeah, bad connection. Well, actually, it's not our position to tell the demigods what they have to do. They're very superior to us. And we're going to have a little kirtan. We were going to do so many nice things, but time is kind of running out. And so what we're meeting here about is just kind of general istogosti. And is there anything you want to talk about? We have one or two topics, but istogosti, when Prabhupada first introduced istogosti, it was the devotees getting together and reading from Krishna book and talking about Krishna. But gradually, I don't know if you would say devolved into a kind of sometimes business meeting and sometimes spiritual discussions, and all kinds of different topics show up. So, anybody has any questions or topics they want to discuss? We can all contribute to the discussion.
I had a few questions which I like to ask, but I don't know if it is proper.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Well, one question which I already asked a few of devotees, but I never had a right answer on that is when we fall down in the material world because of the envy, how can it be that we become envy on Krishna because he is so beloved person?
Well, one way of answering that question is that if you knew the answer to that question, you would no longer be in the material world. That was one answer that Prabhupada gave. Another answer is that you're on the Titanic. You know the Titanic boat? And you hit an iceberg. And the ship is going down, sinking. And you sit down with a few friends and you say, let's figure out how this happened. That's not a good discussion. You should be more concerned with how you can, you know, get out of ocean, how you can save as many people as possible. Not how did I get here, but how can I get out? Another answer is that we are called Tatastha Shakti, which means that we are eternally marginal energy. And Krishna has given us minute independence. And part of that independence is to exercise our right to disagree with Krishna. And we were the very, very small minority who made that mistake of wanting to be independent of Krishna. a father naturally cares for his children. Father naturally cares for his son. So he wants to hand over his business to the son, and he wants to do so many things. He wants to see his son successful. But if the son somehow or other becomes rebellious and is not patient and is not submissive and wants to leave home, what can the father do? Why does that happen? Misuse of independence. You have the choice, and Krishna wants a relationship of love. Eko Bahu Sham. He was one, and he expanded himself into many parts so that he could have a loving relationship. And that means that you have to voluntarily give yourself to the person that you love. It can't be forced. That's slavery. That's not love. Someone puts a knife at your throat and says, now you serve me. Krishna could do everything for us. He could make all arrangements. He could make all the choices. He could fix our brains so that we never think of leaving him. But then it wouldn't be a choice on our part. And it wouldn't be as sweet. Those are the only answers I can think of. Why? It's very, very difficult. We're in a particular environment where we're faced with time. We're faced with ignorance, illusion. We're faced with lack of knowledge and things that might ordinarily be very easy to understand become very confusing. As I often say, the most uncommon thing in the world is common sense. So, if the spiritual world is perfect, and if everyone's loving Krishna, and everyone's feeling ecstatic love, then why did we give it up? Because we have the right to do it, and we did it. And even if you go back to the spiritual world, there's every chance that you'll never come back here again. Mamu petya tu konte apunar janma navidyate. One who comes to me, he never takes birth again in the material world. But you have the potential to do it. You always have the choice. Krishna consciousness is a moment-to-moment choice that I will surrender to Krishna. It's not like you give your energy to Krishna and then you say, okay, I've achieved perfection now, I can stop trying. I can just take rest and watch television, You have to choose to love Krishna, surrender to Krishna. There's reward, freedom from anxiety, freedom from distress, ecstatic symptoms of love. But you always have to, you know, once one senior devotee was having a meeting with many of his disciples and followers. So they were up till 1 o'clock at night discussing Krishna consciousness, discussing preaching and everything. So then the next morning, nobody showed up at Mangalarti except for that senior man. So then later on he asked everybody, well, why didn't you come to Mangalarti? And they said, well, we were tired, we were up late. He said, well, I was up late also. And they said, but Guru Dev, you're, you know. And he said, why do you minimize my effort? It's also a struggle for me. But I want to do it. So there, again, same thing. Srila Prabhupada, what makes you happy? I'm happy when I see you struggling. What does that mean? Why is Prabhupada happy when he sees us struggling? Because we're struggling to become Krishna conscious. In the material world, people are also struggling to get a bigger house, a better car, to become more famous. They're struggling to pay their taxes. They're struggling to fix their divorce or struggling, you know. They're struggling in so many ways. So you either accept the anxiety of the material world or you accept transcendental anxiety. Prabhupada's happy when he sees that you're trying your best to become Krishna conscious. And if Prabhupada's happy, then your success is guaranteed. But there'll never be a time when you don't have to voluntarily choose to surrender to Krishna, to love Krishna. There will come a time when it will be very, very easy, that the bliss of Krishna consciousness will just grow and grow and grow. Increasingly, anandam buddhivardhanam, ever-increasing ocean of transcendental happiness. We have no experience of that. We only know happiness and distress, pain and pleasure, heat and cold. We have no experience of something that goes on getting better and sweeter and sweeter. So when you do begin to awaken your spiritual senses and your spiritual emotions and your spiritual happiness, then the effort that it takes will be much less. But you always have the potential, you always have the choice to disobey Krishna. Any other question? Good. Otherwise we'd just sit here looking at each other.
I was just thinking when I saw yesterday those children when they reciting.
Wasn't that nice?
Yes, it was very nice.
I felt so humbled in front of them.
And when I look at that kids and also at the kids around outside, when you see their eyes, they are so shining and they are so clear, and it looks to me that they are nearer to Krishna than the
That's very possible. You don't really find out till puberty. Then they develop a sense of sense gratification or renunciation. initiation and even japa is not given. Children are encouraged to chant from the time they're very young, but they're only given japa beads when they're around 10 or 11 or 12 or something like that. And they're only given initiation at 12, something like that, 11 or 12, 13. Because they just don't know the seriousness of what they're doing till that age. But it's true that many of these children, especially the ones who were born in Krishna-conscious families, especially the ones where Garbhadhan Sanskar was performed by the parents, they have invited a special soul, probably a yoga brashta, to take birth in the womb. So they're very special. Everybody knows what a yoga brashta is, right?
No. Okay, one or two.
What's a yoga brashta?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
I was planning to ask.
Oh, good. I was planning to answer too. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bidayate. Arjuna asks, what happens if someone takes up spiritual life, renouncing the material world, and then somehow or other doesn't complete his spiritual duties, but he's already spoiled himself materially? He's neither successful here nor there. Isn't his condition completely wasted? And Krishna says, no. Says, anyone who endeavors spiritually, he always gains. And he says, prapya punya kritam lokam ushidva shasvati samaha. He gets an opportunity to go to the heavenly planets, to enjoy sense gratification, to fulfill his unfulfilled desires. And after thousands of years of enjoying heavenly sense gratification, he takes birth again in the house of a very pious family or in the house of a wealthy family where he has no material problems and he can take up spiritual life again. So that person is called a yoga brashta, a fallen yogi. So it's very possible. There have been instances, for example, there was one instance where a little girl took birth and then about 8 months or something, the child died. So, you know, the parents were quite distressed. And Prabhupada explained that the child, and there were some very mystical things about the child too. It wasn't normal. It was quite mystical, and there was something about the umbilical cord and there were other signs. Prabhupada said that the child almost completed her Krishna consciousness in her last life, but there were just a few little bit extra karma that they had to work out, and 8 months worth, and then back to Krishna.
Did you even know?
I don't remember the details.
In one book of Nalini Kanta, he was
talks about that,
analyzing this death of some younger.
Yeah,
okay, maybe that's it.
Urmila Madhaji, I think she wrote in a big, Madhaji Urmila wrote in a big.
Oh, okay.
Something.
Okay. Anyway, it was something very special. So that she was obviously a yoga brashta. And you see, Prabhupada said these little children are demigods. Now someone who's born in a family, say of a congregational family that joined ISKCON later, after the children were already born, still those children get an opportunity to start their spiritual life very early, and they're very blessed. And so naturally they'll have some kind of aura. You can tell that they're special children. But the real test is puberty.
Because they have a как вы заводите приборку за Кришну?
Как вы заводите?
Да.
How to love? Struggle for Krishna.
How to
love?
How to start loving?
How to love? Struggle.
Love the struggle.
Yeah, for Krishna.
Oh. Well, if you understand why you're struggling, and you know, you have faith that if you follow this path, then you will achieve love of Krishna. Then the closer you get, the more enthusiastic, the happier you will feel. Yeah, you can start with that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. You need translation? Or? No, okay. It's an interesting question because personally, I know that I probably have a very long way to go to become a devotee of Krishna. But I really feel confident that by following my spiritual master, who was a pure devotee of Krishna, that I'm on the right path. So I'm very excited about that. To me, to have found the right path and to have all of my questions answered gives me great peace of mind, and I really like devotees. I wouldn't want to live in any other community. I have a strong intuition that purity and happiness go together. They're very closely related. And I don't know of any other group that emphasizes purity as much as the devotees, the Vaishnavas. And I, you know, for the last almost 30 years, I've been seeing devotees sincerely try to become Krishna conscious. And sincerity is also a very beautiful quality in a person, because you see so much artificiality, pretension. What's the translation for pretension? Yeah. You see, we had a phrase for it, this hippies, plastic people. Yeah. You see so many plastic people. What's the quality of plastic when you put a little fire near it?
Melts.
It melts. People are not, you know, they've always got some hidden motive. And to the best of my knowledge, devotees, if they can chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, then they may have some small motives, but their hearts are really more or less in the right place. So I'm happy to be on the path, and I love that. Yeah. And a little taste also is there. And I love that. Does that answer your question, or you had some other ideas? You want to say anything? But we were thinking, we had a little istagosti or a little meeting earlier on, and we were thinking that I get letters all the time from all over the world, people asking me, how's your health? And how are you doing, and, you know, is there anything I can do, and this and that. We're praying for you, and whatever, which is nice, but it's hard on my typing fingers. So we were thinking that it might be nice to have a little short, simple newsletter. Well, we thought of a few things. One is that I feel that satsang or discussion, open discussion, some things need to be private, but not a whole lot. If we had a calm conference where anybody had any discussion, I'll give you an example. Sachi Devi in Ljubljana, she has her little Janaki. So she really wants to raise her child in Krishna consciousness. She's fallen in love with her child. And so I advised her to contact Mother Urmila. And so she asked some questions of Mother Urmila, and she got some very nice answers. And in fact, I would encourage that we somehow invite, if you ever get a chance, to invite Mother Urmila to come to this area of the world to go on a preaching tour or something.
Where is she from?
Well, she's in North Carolina, but her children are now grown up and married. She may have one boy left. But she's a very senior Vaishnavi and very intelligent, very experienced, very wise, and she could really help a lot of people if she came here and did some preaching. But anyway, she answered Sachi Devi's questions about childbearing and more children and so many things. So that's just one example of answers that could be put on a calm conference that we could all take advantage of, just for our knowledge, if for no other reason. You know, we may have to answer questions for people sometime if we know our own philosophy better. And that was one thing. And then the other thing was a little newsletter as we travel. You know, little things do happen to us. And little stories and things and preaching opportunities that we have, they might be of interest to some of our friends. So if Mayapur could, you know, take notes or make a tape and, you know, maybe send it to Ljubljana and, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe Tanya, maybe you could help edit it, and maybe you could, somebody you could format. Anyway, you could make a little newsletter. What do you think?
It's a good idea.
Yeah?
I remember that I mentioned that in the first letter or second, there are not many letters, but I mentioned
yeah.
that.
Okay, good. So it's confirmed.
Yes.
Okay, so then maybe you can help to organize it, and maybe Gregor can do something computer-wise or something. You know how to format things in computer?
Yeah, but I don't have the facilities.
Don't have the facilities, but they have facilities at the temple.
He can also do it at my
own place.
He could also, you could also do it at Sebastian's place. Anyway, somehow or other you can get it together, and then Mayapur can keep in touch. Right now we're going to be going to, well, Matei and I are going to London, and then I'm going to India. Then I might go to China and meet some Chinese people and doctors and whatever. Then I might go to Canada. I might stop back in here for doing a full-on seminar. We might have a Habits of Effective Vaishnava seminar, a fundraising seminar, and some other things here they want for the whole of Hungary. So that might be in January or something. Like that, And then I could just send that on paper and or on disk. If anybody was interested, it would be a lot easier for me. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so should we do that? Should we start a calm conference?
Yeah, I think it would be nice.
Maybe small in the beginning. A few thousand people or something. Okay. And also, a lot of my God brothers have been encouraging me to write something. So maybe I'll try. If I can think of something to write about. Whatever. Okay. Thank you everybody for coming. It was nice to see you all. And who's ever going back this evening, please drive safely. Is anybody leaving tonight? You are.
We are.
Huh?
We have to.
Yeah. So it's raining. So don't go fast. Okay? Be careful. Don't push Krishna. You know, driving at 180 kilometers an hour, saying "Namaste." That's not the right thing to do. You can sing "Namaste" or sing "I," but drive at 100 or 110 or whatever in the rain. Yeah, right, Gregor.
110 is too much.
It's like can be also too much. It depends. You have to use your intelligence, you know. Don't do stupid things. You're all over 15 now, so, you know. Be adults. Use your intelligence. Do things carefully with planning. You get much better results. Short term and long term. Okay, we gotta go. Thank you.